Hey, this is Girls on Road, an all-black female collective that exists to be heard. We are here to proudly represent our different experiences of black womanhood. We are a group of like-minded creatives, and each episode you'll hear from three of us. Speaking up today is Ewa.
Hello, hi, my name is Ewa. Fun fact about me is on Thursday I am getting lockdown looks. I love it. And one of my favourite phrases is we love to what? See it.
I'm Ray.
Hi, I'm Ray. I'm from South London. I do a lot of different things, mainly to do with photography and film. Yeah, that's basically me. And I also love saying the word literally. So if you hear that a lot, probably make a drinking game out of it.
Nice. We can live it up. And myself, Aisha, my favourite word is eclectic because I am it. Like I said on the last episode, if you listened in. And my favourite phrase is we move. So let's move on. Check-in. The bit where we talk about our feelings. But for real. Now, how are we feeling out of 10? A1, cloud 9, what are we saying?
I would say, me personally, I'm feeling like a 7 this week. Not necessarily terrible, but definitely better than last week. This week, I've been doing like a lot to try to do things that are going to benefit me mentally. So I've been like reading a lot of books, meditating, praying, really trying to like really immerse myself in my own self-care. So definitely proud of myself for that.
It's hard out here because it's so weird. Self-care is literally you have to do it yourself. Honestly, and that's so tough. Because when you're not feeling it, you're like, self-care, what is this? Like literally. I just want to be in my bed all day, like that. Isn't that a form of self-care? I guess it is. But it is a bit of it is on you. And people love to talk about it and how great it is, but it is also self-care in itself is a struggle.
It's hard.
Which is a madness.
Yeah, for real. I'd probably say like this week, I've probably been like a 5, like a 6, probably more like a 5. Probably because I've actually been missing out self-care, like deep in it from hearing you talk. I'm like, everything's been so fast paced and lots of things have been changing. And I'm a creature of habit. Like I love routine. I love knowing like what's around me. So when everything's everywhere, I get a bit chaotic. And I've really been lacking time to kind of sit, to journal, to kind of spend time like being spiritual and connecting to myself. And when I'm not connected to me, I get displaced. So I think that's why this week it's been more a bit, like a bit of a lower week than usual. But you know, we move.
Oh yes, go on girl. I actually would say like my Sunday, so it's technically not this week, but my Sunday was like low, like probably the worst of the worst. And then just like from Monday onwards just crawled up the ladder of like, you know, the scale. And like now I would probably be like a full like 10. Like, I'm feeling refreshed. I'm feeling myself. It was a bit of a trek to get to the studio, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna come. It was really weird. I had to walk along like the dual carriageway. Like there were so many cars. That's what was throwing me off. I was like, am I a car now? I don't know. And I have a bike now, which I think is helping my mentals.
Yes.
So none of that TFL, none of the train business and the people not caring about your space. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. And it was a climb, as we like to say, Miley Cyrus. Shout out.
Shout out to you.
So yeah, that's how I'm feeling. So we're going to go straight on to Queen of the Week. So from self-care to spreading the praise to others, it's time for our Queen of the Week, where we give flowers to the women that deserve it. So Ewa, who's wearing the crown today?
So this week wearing our crown is, drum roll please, Lani Good. I don't want to hear any of you haters, okay? And she is my queen of the week because despite Tion Wayne trying to cuss her out, drag her to the mud, leak her nudes, leak her voice notes, like not even acknowledging anything that she has been telling people that he's done to her, she has stood firm in saying that this is her truth and she's going to tell people, you know. And I really rate that. I think it's really easy as a woman to be disrespected by a man, to have your feelings hurt, to have your heart broken and to just take it and accept it. Like that's what's supposed to happen. But instead she's like, nah, I'm going to make my own money and I'm going to let people know who this guy is. And I have to rate, I have to stand. So that is why Lani's getting our Queen of the Week.
Honestly, I cannot tell you enough. How can she come back? I don't even know. Is it 3, 5 years? I think it's been like 5 years, she said. And she's coming back. I'm here for that. You kept the receipts. I'm here for that.
Do you know
like,
what I mean?
Literally, she's coming with the energy, the vim. Like, yeah. Don't let anyone play you because, you know, you might not get a resolution. It might not come back round, but she's making her own resolution. Like, exactly. Do you know what I mean? For like, real. That video... Levels, confidence. Levels.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
She looks so gorgeous.
She looks so good.
And them
good.
Outfits, especially the blue one.
Oh, woo, mate. Oh boy. Gorgeous. I'm just like, cheese.
Nah, she bounced back. She said, definitely. I am not going to be reduced to, because it's like, it, you know, it's all banter or whatever, but it's really easy to have gone through something like traumatic with a guy and then just be like depressed to not like yourself, to not like your body, to not like go out into the world. But she literally went, fuck that. I'm going to do me. And I have to, you have to rate that. Like, people don't understand the amount of, like
courage, I guess
courage that she has, and it takes time to really like work through something like that and to be okay within yourself, to be able to take on hits from other people because you know your truth. You know what I mean?
I think there's always something with Tion Wayne. Yeah, if it's not his piece, he's shouting out some next thing. He Miss Banks, like, do you like her? I don't know. Are you getting together? Let
What's
us know.
What's going on there? Please. It's very confusing. I agree. I'm like,
does she want him? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I doubt it. No. Like, I mean, if she did, no. She would have already.
Yeah, yeah, she would have been there.
You took it up, but what about the picture though? I must admit, you would not want a bit of Tion Wayne. It's not for you.
I'm very good.
Like I said, I'm good. I'm Gucci. I'm good. Gucci. Honestly, her song has been in my head, and the way that she uses ad libs is clever.
No, she's actually
talented.
Look,
you know,
she's cold. You know, I have to. I was watching. I was like, wow, your talents.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that she gets as big as Tion Wayne.
Oh, I love. I would.
I would love that. Literally, I pray that she does get even bigger, better, more successful, have more money than him. That's what she deserves. Yeah. Honestly.
If you think about it, like even people like Cardi, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like Cardi. She's like, okay, I'm going to take my L's and turn them into money.
Exactly.
And I don't care what anybody says about me. And I have to like that. Cardi B is honestly one of my favorite female artists out there for that very reason. Even when like in WAP, she's like, I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you how I got this ring. People, trust. When she said that she was divorced and Offset, well, like, oh yeah, so this is what you mean, like you got a ring, look at where you are now. She doesn't care. Offset, he got her, I don't know what car it is that he got her. He got some expensive car for her birthday, even though they are already divorced. Do you know how much sauce you have to have to happen?
Exactly.
Whoa.
Nah,
people, aspirational.
Aspirational.
Sensational. Oh my, I'm not over that. I didn't know that fact.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I can't lie, it was a WAP weekend. That's maybe why I'm on a 10. For real. Hey. WAP weekend, hashtag it, baby. I know that. So now talking about WAPs, gas girl gas. Like yes girl yes, all about boosting each other up and acknowledging our achievements no matter how big or small. So share with us what's been happening. Achievements.
Okay, I have one. So this is another fun fact about me, guys. I didn't know how to ride a bike until about 2 months ago.
Oh my god. Oh,
no, for real. And that's so I went to Sheffield and my best friend literally taught me. And then shout out to one of my friends who's also an artist called Mundu. His song Brag and Boast just came out and I'm in the video.
Oh,
and in the video,
you're
imagine
in so many videos.
I don't know. I don't even know. Please. I don't know. It's my face. It's the sauce, you know? And I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, in the video, we had to ride Santander bikes like through somewhere in London. And I was petrified. I was scared. I was like, I can't do it. Like, I'm trying to ride it. And I was like really scared. But then I did it. And in the video, it looks good. Everybody should watch the video. You can see me riding a bike.
Look at the techers wheelie. Yeah. You got wheelie for them. Wheelie for them.
I even learned how to do a little turn whilst I was there in the shoot.
Wait, did you learn for the shoot? Is that why you learned?
No, I had literally ridden a bike once before the shoot. They didn't even tell me that I had to ride a bike. I found it on the day. And
so
I was
you
like,
did learn for it?
No. I literally just learned because I was just in Sheffield and one of my best friends was like, oh, let's just teach you. Let's just teach you. So I literally was going up and down the same road before I finally like was able to be like, guys, I'm doing it. I'm riding a bike. Literally, all these little kids were watching me like, who's this girl?
I love that. Did. I love that.
But yeah, so that's my achievement. So proud of me.
Woo! Talking about bikes, I just copped a bike.
Yes, tell us about it.
And it was spenny as But I was like, it's for life. It's for life, you know. Yeah. It's going to be my mode of transport. And I got the D lock. I got everything unlocked. Nice. Like, it ain't getting robbed for no one. Touch wood. Literally touch the studio table. Like, so my mentors, I think that's part of the reason why I've gone up in, like, you know, my score of the week, if you want to put it. That sounds like Coke. I don't do Coke, guys.
We do not endorse Coke.
We do not. Just fizzy pop.
I mean, if you want to do it, do it. But what I'm saying is...
And it's really helped my levels. But talking of a new skill, a life skill that you don't know how to do, swimming. I just learned how to swim today. Hey. Yay. I'm shouting them out. I have to shout out.
Yeah, go.
Swim them, crew.
They're for everybody to learn how to swim, but they're like black owned, black run.
We love it.
The community. You know how the community, I just learned like a lot of history to do with swimming and how the black community, you know, we don't get taught it and we have a fear of water and, you know, to do with, you know, our ancestry background. So it goes deeper to than what you think. It's not just like we just don't know how to swim. It was in White City House, bougie private members club, I know. But I have a free membership, guys. If you're creative, apply. And basically, yeah, it was meant to be a class for 12 people, but I was the only one. I emailed them. Yeah, and I was like, can I come to this? Because I literally cannot swim. Because originally they were promoting it as like, learn some new techers in the water. And then they were like, yeah, like you can come because there's no one else coming to it. So it'll be a one-on-one session special for you.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that they would be like, luck off. For example, I used to work at VA, Virgin Active. And if that happened, I think they wouldn't do the class. They'll just be like,
no, we're not doing it.
No, unless it was like paid, like, because this is like with the membership. Yeah. So I was just, when I walked, I was like nervous. And it wasn't like the rooftop bit where you can eat dinner around the pool.
How could they just there?
I know, and I can't swim, and everyone's having their like tea. Oh, great.
And you're there,
and I'm just there, like, swimming cap on, orange swimming cap on. And I learned how to breathe underwater. I learned all the ropes. I feel like I can actually swim. Like, it was only one lesson, but they're so sick.
Oh, that's amazing.
So yeah,
shout out to you, man. Well done.
Shout out to P and Nathaniel. Thank you very much. I'll be coming back. Achievements.
I would say my biggest achievement this week, literally, I was speaking to like one of my friends that I'm not like extremely close with, but I don't know, I guess he's a new friend. And with me, I'm like, I find it so hard and difficult to like open up to like new people and people in general. So it takes me like, if you want to get to know me, it'll take you like years to actually know me, which is like something I'm trying to grow out of and trying to change to become like more open. So like this week I was like just having a really real, honest, transparent like conversation with him, where I was just like genuinely expressing how I'm feeling and like why I've been like acting the way that I was acting throughout like this year and stuff. And just being able to be so like open and transparent just made me feel like good and powerful within myself, because it's like I've never really been able to do that like with just someone new, you know.
That's like two levels, being honest with anybody, even if you've known them for very long, especially about, you know, like hardships and times, like things. Like us as humans, we love to celebrate, like gas or gas. But when it comes to like hard times, we don't really like to be open in general. And that's just everybody, you know, that's just the way of the world. And then when it comes to, new people and feeling that way, that's like mad.
Because essentially, like, what you're trying to do is be vulnerable.
Exactly.
And also be completely honest with yourself. And especially like in this kind of culture that we live in these days, everybody wants to kind of put forward their best selves. Everybody wants to act as if, you know, you're always having the best time. And it's very rare that, you know, you'll be completely honest about what's really going on in your life or how you're feeling. So like that's huge that you were able to do that with your main friend. Like, that's amazing.
British people just don't like to have their feelings out there. Like you were talking about Afro Nation and the vibe like earlier before we started recording, like, it's so true. They're so stum. And it's part of our culture too. I'm British, so I can be stum sometimes. I'm like, Aisha, that's not me. Like, I like to speak to people, and I need to, you know, just try and remember that that's in my culture, to be like,
to just talk.
Hey,
I'm not even gonna lie though, that's London.
Yeah, exactly.
I grew up in Sheffield, and I literally went back earlier this week, and I was like, so somebody as I was coming out of the train station like held the lift for me because he saw me that I was coming around the corner. Some old man held it, and then when he was leaving the lift, he was like, oh, have a good nice day. And I was like, thank you. And I said, wow, I'm really not in London anymore.
Yeah,
like, literally. Londoners, no offense to you guys, you know, I'm here. Yeah, I like here too, but I think, I don't know why in London, like, they it's very much weird. Like a very singularistic mindset. Don't talk to me. Yeah. I'm not going to talk to you. Yeah, especially now. It's like,
I think it's like everyone is so concerned about getting the bag that they're just forgetting, like, everyone around them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's so like, oh, yeah, I have to get money. Oh, yeah, I have to be successful. Oh, yeah, I am happy. I am successful. I'm this. I'm rich. And it's like, if you're not that, then there's something wrong with you, you know?
It's because you can't live in London without being like that.
Exactly.
And it's so disproportionate. It's like, there's some people who have money living in this city, and you feel like if that, because they're constantly shown everywhere, they seem like they're the majority, when really it's just normal people.
Trust me, the majority out here. Normal people.
Yeah.
And also, you remind me of something. Oh, I always say whenever I go to new things and meet new people, they're always like, where do you live then? Where do you, like, even today this morning at the swimming, like, where are you? And I'm like, West. And this time I was like, West. I said it with my chest because, you know, it's our community. So I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm from East Acton. Like, cool. But sometimes I say, oh, like, yeah, East Acton, like, you know, like, the real West, like, it's not Central West. It's not like King West. It's not posh West. Because when people think of West, they think of Notting Hill, stuff like that. But let's be real. That's like such a small, like, the places that look like Notting Hill and feel like Notting Hill are such a small part of actual London, like, living and, like, what it's like to be in London.
Yeah.
And I think if more people remembered that, we wouldn't feel so work like dogs and having to always be on it. But talking about that kind of links to what we're going to go into now, because it's time for the group chat. So let's step into the group chat, where the tea is always hot and the talk stays steaming. This is a moment when we can talk about real things in a real way, providing our different perspectives to the conversations happening on and offline. Today we are calling out the influencer lifestyle. These days, all it takes is a pretty face, some designer bags, and a shite ton of money, and hey, you are an influencer. And it helps to have also go on a little show where apparently you're meant to find real love. Don't know how many people do that. Hey ho. Influencers have a mad follow count, usually six figures in their accounts for not really doing too much, but I don't know, maybe that's saying a lot. We're going to get into it now. Let me just break it down if anyone doesn't know. I'm sure everyone knows, but the Oxford definition, because I think it's quite interesting to look at what it actually is, because we have an idea in our heads of what an influencer is, but it is as a personal thing that influences another with the ability to influence potential buyers or a product or a service by promoting and recommending items on social media. Usually, how do we feel about that? Could you be one? Would you like to? Do you see people and you're like, I could do a little pretty little ting deal.
I think the only benefits of being like an influencer is probably free things and getting paid to do things. That's about it. I feel like the actual reality of it, like always having to have content out and making sure that content is engaging and entertaining, and like you're not allowed to have breaks, because really and truly you have to stay relevant. So it's like, what if you're having like a bad mental health week or something? You can't have a bad mental day, do you know what I mean? So it's one of them ones where, like, me personally, I don't think I can do it. It just seems like way too much stress for like little reward.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because the points you said, I was like, geez, okay. Those are two good things to do, like, but no. I was like, oh, okay.
I want that.
But it's just so funny, because that's our mentality in life. Like, you hear those two things, and that's probably how a lot of people fall into having that job, because they're like, oh shit, like, those two things are all anyone actually needs in life to live, because you're getting free shit and you're getting paid for it. You're realistically, it's never going anywhere. Your money is staying in your account. You're able to build up funds. All of the clothes that you'll get are all gifted. Do you know what I mean? So you're never actually having to spend money on yourself apart from big buys like homes and stuff.
Yeah.
So in my mind, especially after we talked about London living, I'm like, I could bloody do with that one time. But it is a bit of a tricky one, because like you said, and like you set it up for your mental health, that's a big loss. That's a big loss. And also probably your romantic life.
Like, absolutely.
What do you think?
I'm gonna I think this might sound controversial, but this is a recent revelation of mine, but I think that a lot of influencers are actually directly contributing to the negative mental health of a lot of people, but particularly younger people in the world right now. Like,
definitely.
I watched a documentary called The Social Dilemma the other day.
Yes.
That's on Netflix. I don't know if anybody else has seen it. And it was just basically talking about how much, like, our phones and social media is brainwashing us as like a nation of people. It's like being on your phone, being on social media is becoming an addiction. Like you can't not, but like the things that they've programmed are fucking with people's psyches, like things like the infinite scroll, things like likes and things of that sort. And it also talked about how the suicide rate of young people, like from something like the age of 12 to 14, from like 10 years ago till now has risen. Like, you know, when you have graphs, it's a steep incline. Mm-hmm. And what you see there is also the birth of the influencer. It directly correlates with that timeline. And I think about myself, like I had really bad self-esteem when I was younger because, you know, like because I was never like thin or never the body type that everybody like aspire towards. But even now, like I have to sometimes assess myself because I'm often measuring up my own self-worth alongside these people who aren't real. They're essentially like pictures and products and they're a lifestyle that doesn't exist, but they're literally out there to influence them. That's, you know, the definition of the word, to influence other people into thinking that this is how you should live your life. And it's consumeristic. That's the only purpose of them existing. And I just think that, like, particularly like young girls, even young boys, like you are corrupting their minds as to what reality is. Like one of the things it talks about in The Social Dilemma is we are not supposed to be this aware of everybody else in the world.
Yeah, that's so true.
We're definitely not meant to be aware that there's a certain type of life that we should all aspire to. So I'm really super kind of anti it. But it's weird because, like, you know, I like taking pictures. I like it when I like looking at Instagrams that you can tell that people have put in the work into like how they look and stuff, and they've shot it in a different type of way. But I think there's a thin line between like art and creativity and just trying to it's like consumerism propaganda, which sounds like I'm being so nihilistic, but I just feel like I'm so passionate about it. Like, we don't deep how much it's infiltrating our minds. Like I bet no, I don't know what how you guys find it, but do you find yourself sometimes like trying to aspire for the influencer lifestyle in some ways?
I would say definitely, like, in the past, because like the reason why I even went through this whole like journey of like self-care and like trying to take care of myself is because I was realizing that, like, okay, so when I was younger, I wanted to be nothing but skinny. I wanted to be like Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton was that bitch to me. Literally, she was that bitch. So I wanted to be like Paris Hilton. So everything that she was doing, I was doing. I was trying to lose weight. And when I was younger, I thought I was fat for like the longest time. And now looking back at pictures of myself, I was like thick. And then I lost like so much weight to try to be skinny. And then it started to become a trend to have like my old body type. And then I was just like, fun that.
It was not work that was needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, your body type is your body type. Like Amber from Love Island, one of the like very few like women of colour that people can actually like note from it. Amber, I feel, was like someone who has like a thicker shape and has curly hair. And it's really nice to see someone like that, you know, be really successful, win Love Island. I don't really care for celebrities in general. So it's funny how I like look into those kind of people from the reality shows. But she recently put out a YouTube video and she was like, she realized that it's so weird now, her life as being an influencer. And she was like, I realized I wasn't being myself, but she was like, but I was still like me. So she wasn't just like, I don't know, endorsing some smoking brand, for example. She doesn't smoke, but the way that she was making her like influencer videos were like in a character rather than being like normal and just like being genuine. She was just doing the most to get exactly what you said, because you need constant content. So she was like, I accidentally lost myself even though I was still me. I thought that was really interesting. Like, she didn't rep any brands that like were not her, but at the same time she wasn't being like, I guess she didn't have a creative hat on. She wasn't fully invested. She was just like a bit of a body for these brands. Even though she loved them, she wasn't, I guess, I feel like that's what she was saying. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think that's a great way. I think if, for example, if I suddenly woke up tomorrow and then, I don't know, what's a big brand, Dior was like, we want you to be, you know, our influencer for Dior, I would probably do it and just like try and figure out what I want the campaign to look like, so it stays who I am, because I'd love to like be paired up with someone with like such a luxury brand. But I have always said, I know it sounds silly, but like when you know, when you're like imagining like if what your life would be like if you were one, because I think everyone's all done it. I've always said I would never do like Boohoo and stuff. It's just, they're trash brands.
Yeah.
Why would you do them?
Yeah.
The money.
The money. It is literally just the money, but because the money that they should really be spending on like the actual clothes and on paying the people who make the clothes, they spend it on influencers. It's and wild. The actual quality of it isn't that, but it's fast fashion. And I don't blame, like, I've definitely shopped from like Pretty Little Thing and Misguided and all these places before, because it's easy to, you know what I mean, it's, especially if you just want something, you don't have that much money, it's just something quick to buy, and they know that, which is why they appeal and they spend so much to make sure that they reach that market, which is often like young people, people in uni and stuff like that.
Every time I Google something, so I for me, when I go clothes shopping, I usually have a really particular item in mind. It's not like, oh, I just want a black top. I'm like, I want a mesh black top that crops like this. And whenever I've like typed in those keywords, so like mesh, crop, some boobs showing maybe. Booby cleavage, yeah, that's the word. Some boobs. Cleavage in the search bar. It's always those brands. It's never like a legit brand that comes up, and if it does, it's like some granny version.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
well, it's like I'm ruining the world again. At a basket, I'm like, shoot. So I do get how you can fall into that trap, and it's easier, like you said, it's easier said than done when it comes to it. But Gifted, like, I like that that's become a hashtag that you have to like use, and this was this is a rule in play for ages now. If you remember, social media influencers could just like pretend that they actually bought it.
Yeah.
And then a rule came in, said you can't do that. And they've recently have found a hashtag that's cute to go with it, because before it had to be like ad, but now they can pick gifted. Yeah. And I think that's really nice, and a good kind of middle ground for the world of influencers and the world of advertisement.
Me and my friends are like talking about like people nowadays and like how on social media, a lot of people, like girls, for example, they have like a YSL bag, maybe some YSL heels and like a PLT dress. And then boys will be like dripped out in like Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Dior. And then you actually get to know these people and you're like looking at their Instagrams and you're like, wow, like they must be really well established. For them to have all of this, like they must be up there. And then you get to know them and you just realize a lot of people are doing like illegitimate things to get those things.
Fraud so boys.
Exactly. Deets. Fraud boys, fraud girls. Let's not pretend girls don't do fraud as well.
Listen, we're all incriminated.
Literally. Or it's one of those ones where it's like sugar daddies as well have been popularized as well. Even on like TikTok, people will be like, oh, this is how you get a sugar daddy this and that, without saying like the dangers of it. And it's like a lot of people are doing so much to look a certain way, to look rich and to seem established, and they're not actually doing the work themselves to do it, because it's like you're going through all these circles, jumping through loops to go and get your Balenciaga trainers, but can you even put £10 in your mum's bank account? No.
Or do you even have a house?
Do you know what I mean?
In your parents, there's nothing wrong with living in your parents' yard, but if you're buying drip
and
you're spending money on drip instead of getting out of your house, there's a problem.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's what I mean. It's a disease. It's making us all prioritize the wrong thing. And even like, I think there's a thing also about age and like how now, because of this influencer lifestyle, it's like, oh, if I'm not, you know, a millionaire by 25, then I failed. And then you have like people who are like 28 or 29 or 30 who might not be like where in terms of world opinion they're supposed to be, and that takes a massive toll like on their mental health. I was literally talking about this with a friend of mine about, you know, how he's like getting to 30 and in his head he's like, well, I should be here now and I'm not, when really there's no such thing. That is perpetuated by social media and by all these people who are iced out, you know, essentially pretending, influencing, well, not necessarily influencers, but like people wear things to act like they have a certain type of life. I don't believe that influencing in itself is necessarily bad. Like, I think there's a way that you can use it for good.
Yes.
Definitely.
Like when I was younger and I really was very insecure, part of the way that I stopped doing that is I started following a lot of like plus size models on Instagram, and that was my way in. As soon as I started doing that, my feed, I started seeing women that actually looked like me who were on runways and, you know, in ads and stuff like that. And that honestly did wonders for my mental health. So like there's a part of me that's like, I myself, I would never, I don't think I would not be an influencer. But I don't know, the definition of it would be different. Like, recently, like, I took some photos with a photographer called Tara Rooney. He's amazing. In the photos, like, I'm clearly not small. You can see, like, my lumps and my bumps and stuff. And I was like, oh, should I even... Like, it took me a long time to post them because I was just a bit like, well, this is a bit... Am I just stupid for posting them? But then I was just kind of like, well, this is my body. Yeah. There are so many women that actually look like me. I think the average size in the UK is, like, a size 12 to 14 or something like that. Like, it's not abnormal. But because everything that we get shown all the time is, like, women who are, like, size 6, size 8, like... tiny women, people think that that's the norm, and if you don't look like that, then you're an anomaly or you're an outlier. So I was just like, I'm just gonna post it, it's my body or whatever. And it was like nice because I felt like it was good feedback, but I also felt like, you know, other women like that look at me and stuff were like, yes, go you. Like, I think it's so empowering to see things like that within your socials and in your immediate eyeline. So there's part of me that would do that, but not necessarily, like, I don't know, influencing the other way. It just sounds like I'm saying that, oh, you know, if you look a certain way, you can't. But it's like the rise of the people like the Kardashians and things like that. And the Kardashians.
I'm actually bored.
Swear down. The only reason why waist trainers are a thing, you know, J sculpt belts, all that stuff. If anybody has one, I am not cussing them out.
I am. Cuss them to high heaven.
Cuss them to high heaven. Produce if you have it, but I don't necessarily think it, number one, I don't really think it necessarily does anything. I think it's a bit, I'm sure it does have some kind of effect on slimming down stomach fat or whatever, but like I gym quite regularly, and I think anything that you can do with a waist belt you can do by just going to the gym. I don't think it's anything to do with
also,
that.
Also, I feel like your mental health is gym activity. We've been talking about all this. It helps you so much more, even if you're not losing weight. Gym is actually a motive for your mental to get you like just moving. If you're sitting in the house like me, like, you know, COVID's hit me hard. Not COVID's hit me hard.
The pandemic
has hit me hard. No job. When I go to the gym, it's levels. Yeah. Shout out to my partners. Jimmy's got a PT studio in Hammersmith Revival. So I got my own private gym in it. Do you think that people get famous quick these days? What do you think it takes? Talking about Kardashians, we all know how they got famous. So do you think it's the opposite, and how easy is it to become an influencer?
I think that, like, it looks like it could be easy. However, like, the actual groundwork that you need to do to actually become an influencer seems like a lot. Like, some people obviously can just straight away, like, post something and then boom, they're like viral. But then there's other people who, like, actually have to, like, the majority have to, like, put in the work, and like they have to put out content that are, like, is entertaining, or they have to, like, maybe change the way they look. Even like in LA right now, there's like a lot of girls that will go into like plastic surgeons like offices and be like, oh, this is how I want my body to look, and then they'll put like a body of like Kim Kardashian or like Kylie or something and be like, okay, now that I've got this body, I'm now gonna become the best influencer ever. And it's like, you change your whole body and then you don't even become an influencer. And it's like a lot of people are doing permanent things to themselves to try to like become that. I don't know. It's
so
just
it's
crazy.
A hard road, you feel?
Definitely a hard road.
I actually think it's really, really difficult in comparison to the past. And I think that you could become famous or an influencer or whatever you want to call it by being yourself back in the day, and then you wouldn't lose yourself. For example, there were shows like Big Brother. You came on, you were a normal person, no one knew your name, you weren't trying to do bits, you definitely didn't get approached like how you do on Love Island, because they approach people who are already popular, who are already banging, you know, like pin up pics and getting loads and loads of likes. Amber literally is one of those people, so she's a great example. example, she was approached.
My brother was approached as
well. Oh, really?
To go on Love Island?
Yeah, like he went through like the whole process. Like they did like the tests, all of that stuff. And then they offered him like to come in on like, you know, the other house. I can't remember what it is.
Oh, yeah, Casa Amor.
Yeah, Casa Amor, that's the one. Mm. And then he just like declined it because like of the job that he does. But like he was literally like walking down the street one day and then like some woman was like, yeah, like you look so attractive. Like you should be. Yeah, literally. Mad. And then she found out like what he did and then she was like more incentive to like do it. Because my brother, he does like recruitment, but he also work for the Mobos. That's how I got like my LinkedIn.
Oh, I see.
So it's like he's a writer, vlogger.
But that's the thing, that makes it sound like it's easy. We have to, but then the thing is, all you have to do is be paying. And what is paying these days?
What is paying these days? So
it's difficult at the same time. Like you could be some next any Brer basically on Big Brother and you could have a banging personality and you could get famous and you could get a lifestyle. For example, she's a legend and she was from Big Brother.
Alison Hammond. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Alison Hammond.
She was from Big Brother.
She was in Big Brother. She is now a television personality. She was third in 2002. She is the best thing that this morning has. I love Holly and Philip, don't get me wrong, but she's a legend. She's so funny. She does all the like outsourcing basically. And she just done for Black History Month, she just done a show talking about back to school, and she talks to Marcus Rashford and stuff and all these people about importance of Black history. And she's just so sick and she's hurt. I don't feel like she's an influencer at all. And she's friends with loads of influencers, et cetera, et cetera. And they really bloody like her. And she came from being just herself. And I guess there is a route where you can not... I guess influencer kind of feels like if you put out products, there's a difference. Like if you don't, if you're just you, but you're popular, you're not an influencer.
But the problem is to get paid that you have to put out the products and that's where it starts to get a bit techie.
I was just thinking because like it's kind of like what you were saying earlier about how you'd want to be an influencer but the type of influencer is different. And I think a lot of people when they think influencer they think of like the negatives, like the waist trainers, the plastic surgery, the lip fillers, like all of that stuff, and they see like that side of it and like putting out content because you're trying to get paid, not because you actually care about anything. And I think like now because of like especially the pandemic, like everything that everyone's gone through, like everyone is now trying to search for something like more real and more authentic. So it's like even now like the type of influencers that a lot of people are like starting to like aspire to, it's like more like people like Jamila Jamil for example,
that's so true.
Or like Rachel Cargill, Flex Mami, like
the
people like that,
real, like there's more than just the brand.
Exactly.
There's more than the partnerships, there's more money to it. So in a sense if you're just you without all of the branding, you know, and you go for legit companies that really need the support, then you know, yes, you might have a little less heavier bag of full of money in your account, you might not be on six digits, but you're still an influencer and you're influencing like positivity.
And to be honest, like I think it can be hard to become an influencer and it can also be very easy.
Yes,
like, you can put out one video and then you're viral, like Alex from the Glastonbury concert. It's so annoying. Like literally you rap one thing and suddenly everyone's trying to book you to do adverts. Okay. But I think so. I think there's that side of it. But I think no matter the level of ease to become an influencer, the harder thing is to stay relevant.
Because,
like I was even thinking about like Mike and Priscilla from Love Island. Like I can tell they are putting in the work to stay relevant, because to be honest, people aren't really on it to support a black couple like that. Do you know what I mean? That's I think that's really the crux of it. You find when it comes to like race and influencing, that in itself can be very like, you know, people on TikTok and YouTube talking about how like their ideas are being stolen, like viral trends are being started by, you know, like Renegade for example was, you know, started by a young black girl in America, and then some white TikToker was like, oh, this is this is my trend, and then they got invited on a TV show to talk about what it was like starting the trend when they fully knew that it was not that they saw it and then just copied it. Like there's a lot of that going on, so I think even within that it can be really hard because a lot of the times people want to just stick white faces on black.
It's so true. Biracial couples on Love Island, they're way more popular. And they pop off in a way that you're like, why? And then you look and you're like, oh, maybe. Which is wild.
A lot of the time it's like, even on YouTube. Think about it. How many?
If you're an interracial couple, like people, it's so weird because it's like, I don't know, like what the fascination is. It's just like people, like, I don't understand why skin color is such a big deal. It's like, even on like, there's this Instagram page called the Influencer Pay Gap, which basically shows like how like different influencers get paid based off of their race and like where they're from and like their weight, all of that stuff. And like, what you see is like, if you're an influencer who is black and you have over 100k followers, you're probably going to be making the same as a white influencer that has, let's say, 20k followers. Ridiculous.
It's madness. So, like, but that's just like race in the world, and it transfers to every single industry that there is. Like, it's just the same kind of thing. But I think it's really, for some reason, it's easier to be not black and stay relevant than it is to be like white, because for some reason people are so ready to like give you space and time and money to promote things and just keep getting bigger. Like, for example, Molly May, I don't like, she's there, I'm not really like, I don't really follow her, but she had like a giveaway and it was like a
oh my god, that was wild. Do you see that though? A black woman won it, like, if she's won it, if a black, and she has a child, they were like, if you have a black woman with a child has won this, we have all won.
I was like, I see that. But then also she had tanning products in her thing, and is the black woman gonna use the tanning products? No, she's not. So what was gonna happen? But
sell it on Depop.
From my Molly Wake. But so she won it, which is great. But then also Patricia Bright, who's another influencer, did she?
Oh god, what happened?
No, I'm not laughing at her, I just think it's funny. Like, she had a giveaway maybe like 2 weeks ago, and she basically, she was like, so interesting, maybe if I'd, so I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was basically like, oh, you know, I did a giveaway, whatever, maybe it would have gone viral if I was,
because I can't remember how much it was, but like, she said, like, was it like 10k or like,
like a 10k, it 10K, was 10k cash
yeah,
oh wow, cash giveaway,
and then like she said, because it didn't go viral or anything, so she's like, oh, maybe if I gave like 10k of designer bags, then maybe you guys would have like,
wanted it instead. But I just mean, it was kind of, you know, because people were like tweeting and it was, the tweets were funny, but she has like, she has a point, and I don't think it's necessarily just because, one, there's the point of, so because it's stuff, because it's consumed, you know, consumeristic,
it goes back to the conversation,
that's why people are like, oh my god, so gassed and making it go viral. But number two, you have this white woman who's like pushing this massive giveaway, and everyone's so ready to give her time and promote it. Somebody's given 10k of cash, which actually low-key is more helpful and can change your life more than stuff can, and she's ready to like give it away, and people just aren't really on promoting it like that.
So my question is, you said it didn't go viral, where's the tweet, can I find it, can I still get this 10k?
With Patricia, like, you can go on her like YouTube, she has a YouTube called The Break, and with that YouTube, she like teaches financial literacy. The reason why she even had the 10k giveaway was to give it to like black women starting businesses, so that was like the main reason as to why she even wanted it. I think the frustration of it was like, she's actually trying to influence people into doing something that are going to better their lives and like give them some sort of like you, like a lot of like people, like especially black women in like the UK, need a little bit of a leg up because we're not given the resources that other people are. So like the fact that another black woman who is established that's trying to help is getting like dragged for even saying that is like very like questionable.
It's the world, isn't it? It's the way of the world. So no, but genuinely, all jokes aside, is that still up there? I think it's still an active thing. I need to know.
We are a startup podcast.
Literally, babes, ring on the
on the hotline. Come on the show.
Pretty Pretty Ricky. I love that song. Anyway, so talking about Patricia Bryan, raising up black businesses, finishing the show with Street Smart, which eliminates black excellence in the shape of business and artistry. So who's shining for you? Big them up, Ray.
I would say Talent Fest UK, and they are a platform that essentially promotes other black businesses and up and coming businesses and like talent and stuff like that. And they do it for free as well. So if you have like a new product, like let's say for example, you're selling trainers. If you just like contact the people on Talent Fest, then they'll create like a whole promotional and post for you and also do like product reviews as well. Yeah, it's like really a sick platform. It exposes so many different people and also exposes different like people to businesses as well.
That's also like going the one up, like it's not just like send us something that you've made, like they're actually making it for them, which I think is amazing, because I think there's a lot of places out there, and even though they're very hard to find visibility for things, you know, to boost black excellence, bloody hard, but when you do find them, you need to come pre-made, if that makes sense. You need like a poster or a design or something like that, and some people just don't have that, and it's difficult because what do you say, can you post, you have nothing, because it has to literally be a physical Insta post, like a visual. So the fact that they're doing that is actually a madness, like that is absolutely amazing, and it's a whole new level of support.
That's sick. Big up Talent Fest.
Sure,
I'm gonna have a look at them after this.
Let's believe. As a collective, we are more than a podcast. We also have a music show mixed by our very own DJs providing the soundtrack to your weekend, and once the world resets and all is safe and well, we will be hosting events so you can bop to our mixes,
learn from the conversation,
join the party.
You can also follow us on Insta and Twitter at Girls on Rose, but like gals, so G-Y-A-L-S, and on our personal accounts,
Punch the Curtains, curtains with a Z.
I am Auntie Ewa, that's Auntie with an I-E, and Ewa is spelled E-W-A on Instagram and Twitter.
And myself, Aisha Charles, you spell A-Y-E-S-H-A, Aisha, not Aisha. You've just listened to an episode of Girls on Road, where we shared our thoughts, unpicked some social constructs, and most importantly, elevated black excellence. We out!